bread at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Privacy.
Right.
Well,
peace.
Losers.
Lose.
Men.
This is my mistake, and let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression. Expression.
Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Cartagena.
Solidarity.
You fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 341. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and today I'm joined by my co-host Gord Barnes and our special guest, Rachel Jansey, from the Aboriginal Services Office at the U of R. Welcome, everyone.
Thanks, Jim.
Good to have you here.
Great to be here today.
And
welcome to Rachel.
And we're going to be talking about Have a Heart.
Right.
And other stuff.
Yeah. Maybe we could start just before we get into that discussion by welcoming Rachel and giving you an opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners in terms of what your role is at the university and give us a little bit of background about what your sort of activities have been over the last couple of weeks in terms of the Have a Heart campaign.
Sure thing. I work at the Aboriginal Student Centre at the University of Regina, and one of the things, well, really what drives us as a unit on campus is to encourage, empower, educate Aboriginal students to reach their potential. So we do that by connecting our students with the services on campus, but also in the community that are going to help to support them throughout their education and as they develop into their careers. So with that, the Have a Heart campaign really came about on our campus. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to travel up to Saskatoon to a Indigenous law conference with one of our students who's planning on going into law in the next year or so. And one of the people that I met there was Cindy Blackstock, which was quite a surprise to me because she's actually from my home community in Hazelton, British Columbia, in Gitxsan territory. So it was really quite a pleasure to see her and hear about what the work that she was doing. And she talked a lot about the First Nations Caring Society and the work that they do to benefit the rights of all children in Canada, and particularly First Nations children. And that was sort of what led to the impetus for me to think about how I might want to get involved with the work that she was doing. So I had heard more about the Have a Heart campaign from her and through the work that I've just doing a little bit of research into their website, and thought that this would be a great initiative on our campus to provide an opportunity for people to connect with information about First Nations children's realities in Canada in relation to education, healthcare, and child welfare. Because it's not the same living and reality as many of our children have the benefit of in this country. And as part of making our campus a better place for our students, it's important for other students to know their backgrounds and where they're coming from. And for our students to learn how to start those dialogues with the greater community so that we can build stronger relationships.
That's great. You know, it's just amazing to think about the overlap in terms of your connection with Cindy Blackstock and hear about that. And I personally, and I think you were there as well, Jim, had an opportunity to hear her speak at the Amnesty International Conference or annual meeting in Vancouver a few years ago.
No, I missed out on that.
Oh, okay. Well, a number of us were there, and we were so impressed with the work that she was doing and the presentation she gave. It was the keynote address in the evening, and all of us came back determined to, you know, at this time of year, but throughout the year, support as much as we could the Have a Heart campaign. So today, February 14th, is actually, you know, Valentine's Day, but it's also Have a Heart Day, and you've been undertaking a lot of things in the last couple weeks through your work and connecting students and bringing on a number of interesting speakers, and maybe you can just refer to some of the highlights if you like in terms of who you've had involved in that process so far.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to have, when I contacted a number of people who I thought might be interested in getting involved, everybody really responded exuberantly to the campaign. I think most of the people, except for Amnesty, weren't really aware of the campaign too much. But when I shared the information about what the concept was and how it was about working together as Canadians to lobby our government, to encourage them to enact changes that honor the basic human rights of all children in Canada, there was a lot of interest in being involved. So one of the first events that we hosted was Dr. Shaneen Peet, who is the executive lead of Indigenization on campus, and I decided that we would do a talk about racism. What was the term I used? I thought to myself, can I use these terms? It seems like a really strong, strong title, and I thought, gee, I might scare people away. But what I decided on for our theme for that was, we called it Have a Heart, Addressing Racial Discrimination Against Children in Canada. And it was, you know, those are strong words. I kind of thought maybe people would get a little concerned about us, you know, getting a little, I don't know, too political. But it is a political issue.
Yeah.
And when we start to look at what the concepts are, and as I dove more into looking at basic human rights, I started to see that there is a lot of policy in place in Canada that really is discriminatory. And even though there may be some really good agreements, that the ability to not follow through with those is, there's some discriminatory practice in that. So that was a little bit about the event with Shaneen, and we looked at one of the events, one of the concepts we looked at was Shannon's Dream, mm-hmm. which is really, it was a 13-year-old girl from Attawapiskat who had lobbied the government because she wanted a new school. Mm. It wasn't because she was tired of her old school. In fact, when I did some reading, the school that they had in Attawapiskat was built in 1973, and not long after it was built, the diesel tanks that were under the school, actually, the pipes burst because their reserve is built on muskeg.
Wow.
And so it was only a few years before that toxicity started to leak into the school, and it was making the teachers and the children very, very sick. And that one started in about the 80s, and they did a number of studies, and it was in 2000 that the parents of the community said, "We're not sending our kids here anymore. They're sick. Mm-hmm. We can't send them to this school." After that, the community moved in some old portables from the De Beers diamond mine, which is about 70 kilometers from where Attawapiskat is situated. And the students have been going to school in these portables ever since. They're extremely leaky. It's a very cold place to live. I mean, we all know how cold it is here in Regina right now, and it's got to be at least that cold there. So really, her case is just one of many in Canada. Mm-hmm. But talking about it in terms of Shannon's dream and that principle as it's come forward to the government to really address the gap in spending, that we need to look at investing in First Nations children and in their education on reserve. So that was a lot of what Shauneen and I covered in that discussion, but there was lots of other good questions that came from that. It's so interesting when you meet with people who aren't familiar with these realities that the questions just keep coming, and that conversation could have continued all day, I'm sure. Mm. So following that event, I thought I really wanted to have a student speak as well. And we did really focus on education in the campaign on campus, just because we are an educational institute. I really wanted to engage the university in that discussion, partially because it really contributes to the factors of success for Aboriginal students on campus and leads into post-secondary funding as well. So I had a student from the SunTech program, and his name was Tyler Gervais. He's a second-year SunTech student, and he really talked about his experience as somebody who's studying in education, somebody who is a parent of First Nations children, somebody who's who could talk about the experience of being a First Nations student, actually a Métis student.
Mm-hmm. What is SunStep?
SunTep?
SunTep, pardon me.
Oh, boy. Saskatchewan Urban Native
Teachers
Education Program. It's run through Gabriel DeMont.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about that that institute is they really focus on bringing culturally relevant curricula and presentation into the classroom, because providing equitable education isn't just about honoring the, you know, rights to work in a safe school, that, you know, we can go home at the end of the day and be healthy. It's also about providing culturally relevant material to the students, which is actually in the Declaration of Indigenous Rights. And the thing that I thought was interesting is when I was learning along the way that that's a right not just for First Nations or Indigenous children to learn about their culture and where they come from, but it's the right of every child to learn about other cultures so that we can build respectful relationships with each other.
Whenever I have a conversation like this, I always remember my education growing up in public school and high school, and the complete lack of any real facts about what the First Nations are all about and why things have turned out the way they have, that sort of thing. It was basically ignored. You know, we didn't get anything close to the real view of what's happened.
Yeah. Probably not too much about treaty education.
Not at all. Not at all. I think maybe we might have seen the word treaty, but we didn't know what treaty was all about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people still don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even for myself, I'm growing up in British Columbia, we didn't grow up with treaty.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of what is my relationship as someone living in Treaty 4 territory, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what is my responsibilities as, I really look at it as a guest here.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I show my gratitude? And how am I responsible as a member of the community here? Yeah. But, you know, speaking of education for Aboriginal history in Canada, mm-hmm. it was the same thing for me. And I'm, you know, there's a generation in between us. My sister and I would complain all the time that in high school, we learned a very short piece about the Iroquois Confederacy.
Right.
And that was it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Indians or Aboriginal people or First Nations never existed. So now we find that we have students in our school. My sister's a high school teacher, and her kids don't know who they are or where they come from. They don't even know their house lineage at times. And how do we wrap our heads around asking children to learn someone else's history when they don't have that firm foundation in their own history?
There's a lot of work that needs to be done. For sure.
Yeah.
I know I'm just kind of scratching the surface myself personally, mm-hmm. getting a kind of a sense of what I should know and what I don't know, you know. But I've heard some interesting presentations at the Unitarian Center. We heard from James Dashuk, and mm-hmm. That was a real eye-opener. And if you want to listen to the presentation, it's on the Unitarian Facebook page.
Yeah, I actually talked a little bit about Jim's book today in relation mm-hmm. to the policy of starvation that he talks about in his book. It's interesting because sometimes when we're sharing this information with people who... this isn't a reality that they have grown up with. It's mm-hmm. not normal to them. For many First Nations and Métis and Inuit people, and even non-status people, this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew growing up that it was wrong. But I never realized, I think, how wrong it was, like in that there's so much legislation and agreements in place that very easily, you know, very clearly lay out
mm-hmm.
That as a child and as an adult, my human rights have been violated, like my child's have been, like my parents have been. And, you know, I never really realized that I need to stand up and actually speak very publicly about it. And to continue to learn more. So when you say, you know, you're in the process, we're mm-hmm. all in the process. It's funny, people ask me questions and I'm like, I don't know, but I have some really great resources. I'm not an expert mm-hmm. to any extent. And I think that's the great thing about this campaign is it really encourages people to be aware of what's going on around you. What are you reading in the newspaper? Like the past couple of weeks, there was something out about 500 children dying in care in Saskatchewan mm-hmm, mm-hmm. alone over the past 20 years.
But you notice that's that is not news anymore?
No.
It's not front page. It's not even back page.
No, but we have to remind ourselves because, I mean, to think of that, 500 children
mm-hmm.
who are dying in... you know, in a system that is supposed to be caring for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I can't wrap my head around that.
It is unimaginable, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the truth. It's
well,
the
and
facts.
if we forget about it or it's normal, there's nothing that's going to keep that from continuing mm-hmm. to happen. And I don't want that to be my child, and I don't mm-hmm. want that to be my grandchild, and I don't want that to be yours or yours or anybody's.
Yeah. We don't want it to be normal.
More than that.
We don't want it to be normal.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what it is right now. And they talk about changes, but we haven't seen any changes. And so we have to encourage our governments to make some changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you've been doing a lot of different events over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And
We just had one today with Amnesty, and we talked about the power of letter writing.
Right.
And I think one of the things that really came out is that, you know, they seem like huge problems,
right.
And we can get really pulled down by it. But what we really need to think about, what are the simple things that we can do every day? What are the simple things that we do every day? And how do we make those grow? You know, those are seeds that we need to foster, and we need to encourage them in others.
So the one key thing that is very simple that the Have a Heart campaign mm-hmm. is really all about is just sending a Valentine's message to the Prime Minister or your Member of Parliament or other members of Parliament saying, you know, we'd like to get your support for the call for equal funding for health care, for education, for First Nations students and children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't even cost you any money to put that kind of letter in the mail these days, because you can still send a letter to your member of parliament and to the prime minister for free. So, you know, it's a great campaign. It's a good thing to do today on Valentine's Day to support the Have a Heart campaign. And one of the things I do want to kind of get an opportunity to provide our listeners with the information on twice during the program, we'll do it quickly before the break, is Rachel, I know this afternoon there's a film screening on campus that is a film that's been done by the National Film Board, and it could be that people are, you know, listening right now and sort of intrigued and might want to come over and listen to or see the film. So maybe you could give us a little bit of detail about when that is and how they can see the film and what it's all about. And I think there's some information available as well about, you know, if they can't get there, how can they access the film? So do you want to share that?
Yeah. So today at 2:30 until about 4:30, we'll be having a screen of Hi Ho, Mr. Hay. Hi Ho, Mr. Hay means, as far as I know, it's a Cree term, which means I love you forever. And it is a documentary made by Alanis Abamsawin, who's a notable filmmaker. And it shares the story of Shannon's Dream, which was a national and is a national campaign to provide equitable access to education in safe and suitable homes for schools for First Nations children. And that the strong participation in this initiative eventually has brought Shannon's Dream all the way to the United Nations in Geneva. And so that's what the film is about. And it's actually only up for a short period of time through the National Film Board. They've made it available specifically for this campaign because I don't think it's really been released yet. So we'd like to encourage people to come to the center. We're going to have free popcorn. And we're going to have cards too, you'd like to make some Valentine's cards while you're there. But if you can't come down to the center, and this will be at our College West building, room 117. If you can't come down there, go and visit the National Film Board site. The film will be available online for the 14th and the 15th, I believe.
Great.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, for people to be able to access it right at home if they want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of you who can't access in that time, to know that it's coming out soon and you should be able to access it at another date. I'm really looking forward to watching it.
Yeah. Another one of Canada's institutions that seems to be waning with our present government.
But they're doing a good job with this one. I think it's a just really timely thing that they've made this available for the campaign, and really worthwhile. So we wanted to get that information out mm-hmm. just in case people you know, missed that detail, again, it's at College West. At what time?
At 2:30.
Okay.
So College West building, room 117.
Okay, and we'll come back and share that detail at the end of the program, just so you can remind people again, Rachel. But maybe after the break, if you're okay with this, we could have a bit of a conversation about that whole piece around the what's happening with the Human Rights Tribunal and what that's all about, what it means, and some of the issues involved there. Because I think it's important to get, you know, some understanding of what that process has entailed to date. It's not something that's just been initiated, you know, in the last couple weeks.
No, it's been going on for almost a year now.
Yeah. So let's come back to that issue, because it's a probably longer conversation. But it's really been great so far to have you as a guest on our program. It's really a good conversation. And, you know, as you were talking about, you know, the need to recognize the priority that has to be placed on this kind of conversation, it really is recognition of the need to honor treaty rights. And that's what we need to be all about in terms mm-hmm. of this conversation, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a little music, and I guess it's the soundtrack from a video that...
Yeah, we're hoping that you'll be able to hear the sounds of many children sharing their voices, too, about what we're going to be talking about next with being a witness to what's going on in your communities and what's going on in regards to First Nations children in Canada.
Okay, we'll be right back.
I am a witness. I am a sentinel. I can see everything that you wanna hide. The symmetry.
I believe Canada is a country where justice and fairness are important values.
I think it's really unfair that the conditions that First Nations people have to live through every day.
First Nations children are Canadian children and must be treated fairly and equally.
That every child is just as valuable as anyone else, and that no one deserves to be just forgotten in a system that is very old and doesn't really work so well.
Other Canadians need to know that that people that are living in Canada don't have the same services that they do.
First Nations people, like in the history of Canada, have faced like a lot of different inequalities in different ways, like throughout history and like now still. Just like people talk about like the residential schools, like those are really sad and terrible, and it's good that we apologize, but an apology doesn't fix it.
Usually most people think Canada is a place where everybody's treated fairly, but then sometimes we forget about our First Nations children.
Aboriginals are growing up and living in situations and places where they don't have the same rights, and this is a black mark on Canada's reputation.
There's not all equal funding for all people in Canada, because they're living in like third world conditions, like people are in like countries in Africa or something.
I want Canada to know that children can change more than just our country, but they can also change the world. And that children can see when there's something wrong and they want to fix it.
Everybody would have access to water and health care and education.
And they should have the right to go to a good school, to have houses, clean water, food, and to have actually a real job when they grow up, and to have a dream and to make it come true when they're older.
I'm sure that they need to have everything what we have, like a warm house, lots of stuff to keep them happy, proud, and healthy.
un abri, une famille, de l'amour, une, puis l'éducation, la santé.
I feel that First Nations children should grow up in their community.
As I was growing up, I had an elder who taught me a lot of stuff. Like, my mom was really into that, like, because she never had it when she was growing up, because her parents were, like, they're all sent to residential schools. My dad's parents, too, they're never allowed to come out as who they are.
One of my elders said that it takes a community to raise a child. So everyone's kind of connected, and everyone, like, kind of looks out for each other. So, like, we kind of, like, are like a big family sort of thing. Like, we're all, like, extended, and we're all looking out for the betterment of each other.
When they're first growing up, like, they need a good family, a good home. A good, like, they have to know themselves, like, who they are as people, especially Aboriginal children. They have to know who they are.
It takes a community to raise a child, not just two people. So if you're taking First Nations children out of their communities, they're cut off from all that, and they don't have those supports and those people that are so important to them and who are going to teach them. Like, everybody's going to teach that child about who they are and where they're from.
The best place where First Nations children to grow up would be in their families and in the community mostly. Because they need a strong foundation, and they need to know, like, who they are.
Discrimination is when, because of a certain characteristic, like boy or girl, age, or race, is where someone says, oh, you're not good enough for this, or no, you can't have this because you're blah, 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 right? And it makes me feel upset because I think people should be treated equally.
Ben, moi, je trouve que la discrimination, c'est de l'injustice. Je crois qu'il ne devrait même pas avoir un mot pour ça. On ne peut pas avoir de l'injustice dans notre propre pays.
Discrimination to me is when someone gets something that's a right and someone else doesn't get something that is a right. So I find that Canada has a lot of rights, and that is very nice, but I wish they would keep up to their rights.
I think discrimination is giving somebody something less than another person based on, you know, gender, age, or, you know, skin color.
Discrimination towards First Nations children, like from the residential schools to, like, even our child welfare. Like, they're not there, it doesn't seem like they're there to help, but just to, I don't know, take the children away.
I feel there is a lot of discrimination against Indigenous peoples in Canada, because we, our programs and our services don't get as much funding dollars as non-Native organizations.
You just take a look at the statistics that, and even inside of our jails, you know, the overrepresentation of the children that are inside of the child welfare system is just a sign of the discrimination.
Discrimination is kind of deciding that some people are better than others, or some people aren't worth the money. So, like, not providing First Nations with the same healthcare benefits or school or whatever, that's discrimination, because you're basically telling them that they aren't as important as other children in Canada.
This is not a new issue. It is a reoccurring issue that keeps happening to First Nations people across Canada.
And I think it's pretty upsetting.
Well, that was quite a collection of children there with their views on discrimination, and it's kind of interesting to hear their point of view. Like I said, I go back to my own childhood, my own experience in school, and I definitely don't remember having any conversations like that, discussing anything like that. So I think this is a real important step forward to see kids of that age considering those topics.
Yeah, I think it's that's one thing that really struck me about the work that Cindy's doing with the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society, is working with children not only to have these discussions about Canadian history and realities today for children, but that she's also encouraging them, and the society is encouraging them to utilize their voices to speak out when they see something that's wrong. We all have to find our voices, I think, in that regard. And this clip is actually from some of the work that the society has done, and in relation to one of their campaigns, which is called I Have a Witness. And the basic premise of I Have a Witness is in relation to a human rights tribunal that is before Canada right now, in regards to the lack of funding in child welfare for First Nations children in Canada has actually been, the premise is that is a discrimination, and that is a violation of First Nations children's rights in Canada. So I think that really relates a lot to what Amnesty does as well. It's the conversation that we had at our past event is really looking at how, as witnesses, we're holding our governments and leaders accountable, that we have a social responsibility to do so as well. We're not always going to be heard, but it's important that we do put our voices out there, that we do share our words, and that we let our MPs know that we are watching and we are paying attention. So that's very much connected to the Have a Heart campaign, but the I Have a Witness is actually specifically asking people to make the commitment to watch the tribunals. They're all available online through the APTN website. The tribunal started almost a year ago after at least one appeal I know that the Canadian government put forward, which was denied. So this has been a process that's been going on for a couple of years to get it to the point where the tribunal started. And then started, I think, at about February 23rd of last year. So we're actually coming to the last week. Today is supposed to be the last day that we hear witnesses for the tribunal. And why we're asking people to be witnesses and to listen to the evidence that's being provided is whether it's decided that it is discriminatory or not before the courts or before the tribunal, really what we're asking is that people make up their own minds from the information that they learn and hear that's provided to really decide, what do you see? Is this right or is this wrong?
Right.
You know, it's discouraging to some extent to even think about the idea that people are having to go through the process of filing a complaint with the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal and then having it for a while blocked by the federal government by their legal proceedings where they were using various appeals, as you mentioned, Rachel, to stop it coming forward, and now are spending a fair bit of money through the process that could actually be spent on education or other services that are so critically needed. Like, why not just get on with the right thing to do? And but as you mentioned, this really does provide all of us, by virtue of the various proceedings that are going on before the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal, the opportunity to be a witness ourselves and listen and find out what is happening. And you mentioned it, you can find out more by following it on the APTN website, but also there's an incredible amount of good information on the First Nations Child and Caring Society website. And really take the opportunity to learn more. As we mentioned in the first part of the program, you know, being at Valentine's Day today and the opportunity to share a message of hope with your Member of Parliament or perhaps the Prime Minister, it's a pretty simple message to send, saying you you know, you support the call for equal and funding for students who are going to school on reserve, or justice for those students so that they can be proud of the school and the communities they're growing up in. And instead of growing up in an environment where, as you said earlier, many of the schools are really falling apart and not in a good situation. So, you know, we're just hoping that people, by virtue of tuning in today, will, you know, take the opportunity to learn more and have conversations with your neighbors and friends and think about supporting this campaign. I'm really glad, Rachel, that you've been able to create awareness on the campus about the campaign itself, and even beyond the campus. I think there were, from my understanding, people even who came in from other communities to some of the events, which is really exciting as well.
Yeah, it is really exciting. We've really interacted with a lot of people that aren't normal visitors to the Aboriginal Student Centre. And one of the things that we always encourage people to understand is that everyone's welcome at our centre. It is a welcoming space. It's an important place where we can gather to have respectful dialogue, for people to have the opportunity to learn more about building healthy relationships, about being treaty people. One of the things that we've had with the campaign as well is we've had a booth set up throughout the campaign that with just a little bit of information about what the campaign is about. We have form letters that are actually available through the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society website. And it's really simple. All they've got on their letter is, "Happy Valentine's Day. Please have a heart. First Nations children should not have to fight for services all other Canadians enjoy. Give First Nations children the same chance to grow up safely at home, get a good education, be healthy, and proud of their cultures." It's a very simple message. So we don't need to be experts on, you know, the funding gaps. Mm-hmm. What we need to be aware is that there is a lot of people who don't have the same access to education, the same access to health care, and the same care in child welfare. That's what we need to be aware of, and we can continue to become more aware of. But it is really simple. You can even send e-cards through their website. They're encouraging people to tweet "Have a Heart" with that's your hashtag for today. So cool. We encourage you to send those messages out.
Good stuff. You know, one of the things we were talking about before the program was that there was an announcement made earlier this week, and it was an announcement about more money made by the Prime Minister and stuff in it. There's not a lot of detail available about that yet, but Rachel, you were saying you were able to catch an interview with Cindy Blackstock, I think, and her perspective on that, and maybe you could share some of the detail that she was conveying in that interview, because I think, you know, the impression that was left was, hey, we've looked after this now with the announcement, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. My impression was this announcement might address some of the issues around keeping up with inflation, but it doesn't address the issues around inequity that are built into the system.
I think that this may be partially a desperate response to the tribunal to demonstrate that that the government does plan to make changes. But it's interesting, they call it the First Nations Education Act, but there's no legislation that was announced whatsoever. They did announce some parameters, which they see that, you know, what will develop from this act. They did announce that there was going to be resources allocated. Really, from what I gathered from what Cindy had to share, and this was right after the announcement, was really what they've dedicated is $1.25 million or $1 billion by, I think they're looking at 2016. So it's a promise. And one of the responses that I had heard is, you know, when we're looking at promises for First Nations communities and people in Canada, there's not a lot of stock put in those, especially when they come from our government. Unfortunately, it's horrible to have to say that. But really, I mean, if you look at the case of that school in Ottawa, Piscat,
I was just going to ask you.
There were four promises before Shannon held them accountable. So, you know, and that was over 30 years. So really, what do we do in the meantime? You know, that doesn't help us to educate First Nations children today. Currently, we're failing over 70% of our First Nations students in this province. It's my understanding. You know, it's the tribunal itself is really specifically looking at child welfare. And it was interesting when we were listening to the children, there was a couple of parallels drawn between residential school and foster care. And I think I had come across a figure that says that currently we have 300 more children, First Nations children in care today, than we did at the height of residential school.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
We can make apologies and we can make promises, but if things aren't changing, that's what it comes down to, is things need to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, really, this is all about learning how you can do that, how you can make this change. And I personally think, you know, that the initiatives that people undertake to, first of all, learn more and then send a letter or a postcard or whatever, or maybe, as you mentioned, go on and do a something on Twitter or send an online email message, all those things are going to make a difference. You know, one of the things about letter writing we always say within Amnesty is, you know, the only letter that will never work is the one you don't send.
Yeah.
You know, and I always felt that's a pretty powerful kind of statement, because sure, if you just sit home and get upset and you don't do anything about it, it's not really going to help much. But if you take the opportunity to, you know, do something kind of creative, like send a Valentine's card to the Prime Minister, hey, you know, enough of those eventually is going to have an impact.
Yeah.
And it certainly won't help if you just get upset and sit at home and do nothing. So.
Well, and I think, too, I'll put this out there for our adult literacy learners, and we do know that in our communities, literacy rates are much lower than the national average. And I want to tell you that even if you can't write or read, use your traditional upbringing and have these conversations and dialogues with your grandchildren or with your children or with your parents. It doesn't matter how you get that message out there, but that you talk about it. You talk about the things that matter. And when you see leaders in your community, you talk to them about it and you ask them, what can we do to make things better? Because they need to be better.
It reminds me of a conversation I had with one of our local MPs, and we were talking to him about human rights, and he outright came out and said that he didn't know much about human rights. Not in his, you know.
I couldn't believe how much I didn't know about my own rights until I started this campaign, and it just floored me. And when I started sharing that with other people, you know, that one, they had to stop and go, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And these agreements and these principles are what our country should be based on. You know, I mean, we could be looking at it from a national scale. We can be looking at it from a global scale in our protections through the UN. How do we know that our rights are being violated if we don't even know what our rights are?
So, you know, I just wanted to just share with our listeners that might have turned in to the program towards the end that our guest today has been Rachel who is with the Aboriginal Student Center at the University of Regina. It's been just fabulous to have you on the program. And I do want to give you an opportunity to, first of all, if there's something we've missed, Rachel, in our conversation, if you think there's something we've missed and you wanted to share that, but also if you want to share again how people can get involved in the campaign, and also that detail with respect to the film that's going to be showing this afternoon yet. And if you can't get to the university to see it, how you might be able to access that online.
So you can access the film online, which is called Hi Ho, Mr. Hay, and it's about Shannon's dream. It's about closing the gap in funding for First Nations education in Canada. And you can watch it on the National Film Board website either today or tomorrow. It's only up for a short period of time. Boy, I could go on and on about what we need to cover. But I wanted to say a shout-out to my volunteers. Well, not my volunteers, but the people who have been volunteering with the campaign. To the students, you're amazing. I was so impressed to see how you developed your skills to start these conversations and to encourage people. You know, this year's campaign is coming to an end, but you can still be a witness. You can still make a difference. You can still send letters. And you can also think about being, what are you going to do in your community come this time next year to spread this word and to encourage people to get involved and make change to support First Nations children in Canada.
Yeah, the issue will still be here next year.
Yeah, sad to say,
but it will be. I'm hoping that by then we'll have some change. You know, I really do. I think that, you know, if enough people get involved and behind this kind of campaign, there's going to be a change that is going to happen soon. And I'm optimistic about that. You know, when I was at an elementary school in Regina a few years ago, young students who were in grade 3 and 4 were talking to us about treaty rights, and they were really knowledgeable about it. So there's change happening here, and like the rest of us better catch up with it. So let's get on board, and it's exciting. And Rachel, it's been just wonderful to have you on the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I hope this message gets out to people all over the place.
That would be a good thing. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think it's time. We're going to close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio. We hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."